Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jackie Howard. The shooting death of conservative pundit Charlie Kirk has caused a ripple effect across the nation, from the initial horror of the act to those mocking and celebrating his death on social media to those individuals now facing repercussions of firings and more as a result. The shot was fired during a peaceful campus event, Kirk's American Comeback Tour at Utah Valley University in Orem. He sat under a white gazebo before a crowd of about 3,000 people. A discussion began about transgender mass shooters when a single shot rang out. Kirk slumped in his chair with a clear, profusely bleeding wound to his neck. The FBI released images of a person of interest, a slim white man wearing sunglasses and a dark baseball cap and a dark sweater with a picture of an American flag with an eagle across on the front. On Friday, President Trump announced that Tyler Robinson, 22, was the shooter and was turned in by his father. Robinson's dad reached out to a family friend who then contacted authorities. A family member told investigators that Robinson had become more political in recent years and in conversations had said Charlie Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. During a press conference, Utah Governor Spencer Cox described the weapon and bullet casings found near the scene.
Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this?" question mark. Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point, up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "Oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay. LMAO.
The FBI released videos appearing to show a dark figure running across the roof of a building in the aftermath. Evidence included a palm print and forearm imprints and footwear imprints. A footprint. Officials have said Utah will pursue the death penalty. In the wake of the shooting, repercussions have come for some who mocked or laughed at Kirk's murder. DC Comics canceled the just-released Red Hood comic book series after author Gretchen Felker Martin's social media comments. In a now-deleted post, Felker Martin allegedly wrote, "Hope the bullet's okay." Charlie Rock, a communications coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, posted a video on his personal Instagram account of a Kirk speaking engagement with the caption, "Why are y'all sad? Your man said it was worth it." It was paired with a screenshot of Wu-Tang Clan song "Protect Your Neck." MSNBC political analyst Matthew Dowd lost his job after comments about hateful words leading to hateful actions. Dowd apologized, saying he didn't intend for his comments to blame Kirk for the attack. Both the University of Mississippi and Middle Tennessee State University have removed staff members after comments they made. And there's more, even an electrician who had to close his business after his wife posted a video celebrating, mocking Kirk's death. Charlie Kirk's casket was flown from Utah to Phoenix aboard Air Force Two for his funeral and burial. President Donald Trump has said he will attend. Tune in to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on Monday for the latest in this evolving story. More crime and justice news after this.
I'm Drew Nelson. A mother and her partner plead not guilty in a so-called house of horrors in New Jersey, where an 18-year-old girl says she was held captive for years, beaten, and sexually abused. Brenda Spencer, age 38, and her partner Brandon Mosley, age 41, were arrested in Camden County on Monday. Prosecutors revealed plea offers of 50 years for Mosley and 25 for Spencer. Their lawyers rejected those offers. Spencer's attorney, Terrell Ratliff, saying, quote, "I forgot it 3 seconds after I got told it. We're not even there at this point in time," as reported by NJ.com. Both defendants face kidnapping, assault, and child endangerment charges, with Mosley also facing multiple counts of sexual assault. The case began in May when the teen escaped their Gloucester Township home and ran to a neighbor for help. She told investigators that she had been forced to live in a dog crate since 2018, had been padlocked in a bathroom at times, and at other times kept in a bare room with only a bucket. Here is prosecutor Grace McCauley.
What this young woman survived was absolutely horrific. After speaking with the victim, our detective searched the residence and found that the victim was subjected to living in squalid, filthy conditions alongside numerous animals, dogs, chinchillas, and other animals.
Detectives also discovered that a 13-year-old girl in the house had been pulled from school years earlier.
Homeschooling may be the right choice for many families. Unfortunately, it can be used by others as a means to hide abuse.
Neighbors said the older girl was rarely seen outside. The New York Times reported that when she finally reached a neighbor's home, her hair was shaved, her wrists had scars from handcuffs, and she smelled foul. She spoke in bursts about being locked in the dog crate, cuffed to a toilet, and fed spaghetti from a bucket. Prosecutors later described the ordeal as, quote, beyond heinous.
This is one of the most despicable cases that I've ever run across.
Police Chief David Harkins confirmed police had first met the girl at a Wawa convenience store after her escape, but she did not reveal everything.
It was reported to us that it was a domestic violence type of situation. However, she did not want to disclose all this information. She did not disclose this information about being held.
Both teens are now safe. Spencer and Mosley remain jailed ahead of trial, where they will face decades in prison if convicted.
I'm Nicole Parton. Mark David Chapman has once again been denied parole, marking the 14th time this has occurred since he fatally shot John Lennon nearly 45 years ago outside of Lennon's home in New York City. At age 70, Chapman participated in a parole board interview on August 27, but was not granted release from the Greenhaven Correctional Facility in New York, as indicated by the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision's online records. According to the timeline, Chapman became eligible for parole in December 2000, 2 decades after he murdered the 40-year-old Lennon on December 8, 1980, as the musician returned to his apartment with his wife, Yoko Ono, earlier that same day. Lennon had autographed a copy of his latest album, Double Fantasy, for Chapman. Chapman has been incarcerated since August 1981, convicted of second-degree murder, and is serving a sentence of 20 years to life. His last appearance before the parole board was in March 2023. He has previously voiced remorse for his actions, declaring in a 2020 interview that he deserved the death penalty for his crime. I assassinated him solely because he was immensely famous and I was seeking self-glory, he said. It was a selfish act. He referred to his actions as creepy and despicable, frequently reflecting on Ono, now 92, who chose not to remarry after Lennon's passing. I wish she could know that she understood her husband better than anyone else and knew the kind of man he was, which I did not, he reportedly expressed in an interview. I deserved nothing. At the time of the warranted death penalty, when you deliberately plan someone's murder, knowing it's wrong and doing it for your own glory, that deserves death, he said. In David Sheff's biography, Yoko, released in March, she described the letter she wrote to the board in 2000 as, quote, the hardest letter she's ever written. The biography highlighted that Ono's letter detailed her love for Lennon and his beliefs. To me, he was the other half of the sky. Our love for each other was intense until the very end. The letter also addressed the impact of Lennon's death on their sons, Sean, 49, Julian, now 62, as well as Ono's own grief. Schiff noted that Ono expressed concern that Chapman's release could revive the, quote, nightmare, chaos, and confusion that followed Lennon's murder and could lead to more violence. In a 2015 interview with the Daily Beast, Ono shared that she had never considered leaving the apartment that they shared with Sean, as it held cherished memories of Lennon. It's extremely difficult for me to think about Chapman, she said, especially since he doesn't seem to believe he did anything wrong. My concern is that if he did get out, he would do it once again. Chapman's next parole hearing is scheduled for February 2027.
I'm Jennifer Gould. A serene Long Island retirement community was shattered by a flash of violence when a 76-year-old woman allegedly shot her neighbor in the face with a flare gun during a bitter feud. The explosive showdown at Belmont Villas Senior Apartments, caught on chilling doorbell footage, has left the 67-year-old victim bloodied and his alleged assailant in cuffs. Victim Richard Catrone spoke to NBC New York.
Kathleen showed no emotion. She claimed I was the devil. She claimed I tried to murder her. And she said, I'm sorry, I missed.
The chaos erupted around 5:45 p.m. on the 400 block of Wyandanch Avenue in West Babylon, New York. Home surveillance video shows the victim, Richard, walking his dog when his neighbor, Kathleen Schumann, storms out of her apartment. Without hesitation, she brandishes a flare gun, aims, and fires at close range. The flare ricochets off Catrone's cheek, sending him reeling in stunned agony. Listen.
Didn't what? Think I'd do it, huh? Did you?
Do what?
Idiot! What the f*** is wrong with you?
Reacting swiftly, he drops his dog's leash, charges Schumann, and knocks the weapon from her hand, grabbing her hair in a heated scuffle. Neighbors revealed the duo's bad blood was a long simmering dispute over their pets. Schumann's cat reportedly riled up Catrone's dog. Catrone admitted he had made complaints to management and that he even asked her to please keep the cat inside. One neighbor noted that Schumann had moved out temporarily and only returned a week before the fiery ordeal. Police arrested Schumann shortly after the incident. Catrone's blood was still visible on the walkway outside their apartment when officials arrived. Schumann was charged with second-degree assault with an incendiary device, a felony. She pleaded not guilty at her arraignment, with bail set at $5,000 cash or a $30,000 bond. A judge issued a no-contact order and ordered her to stay away from Catrone. Both were treated for non-life-threatening injuries, with Catrone requiring 6 stitches in his face. Conifer LLC manages Belmont Villas, which is marketed as a quiet, gated apartment complex for residents 55 years and older. They called it a quote-unquote isolated incident and say they are cooperating with police. For the latest crime and justice news, follow the Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app and watch Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on Fox One and YouTube. With this Crime Alert, I'm Jennifer Gould.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.